Hello and welcome. Roni's Own Media and RoniesOwn.com proudly present the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. Your hosts are Jeff and Colleen Roni from Orange County, California. And now, on with the show. Hi there. There are a number of ways that you can stay connected and interact with the show. Our main website address is onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our Twitter name is OUAT Podcast. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/OUAT Podcast. Our email address is feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. And the address to our forum is forum.onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our blog web address is aclosereloukouat.roniezone.com, and our voicemail line phone number is 657-333-0626. Thank you for listening, connecting, and interacting with us.
Everybody, welcome to another episode of the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. This is what we call the regular episode. This is where we play voicemails.
As opposed to the irregular episodes we do?
I'm not going to go there, but I am in a silly mood. I think I'm due. I think I'm...
Okay.
Serious is over, and funny
is... Well,
it's
not over. It's just on hold for tonight.
Yes.
Okay.
So my name is Jeffaris Ronius, and that is not erroneous. That's actually true.
Yes, it is.
And you are?
Colleen Roni.
And you're knitting again.
I am knitting today, yes.
Excellent.
Yep. Working on my blanket.
Yes.
The Emma blanket.
The famous Emma blanket.
Yes. Excuse me, which I have about seven and a half inches.
Yes.
It's got to be 4 feet. I got a long way to go.
All right.
So.
That's very nice.
Yeah, it is nice. I like it. It's fun.
And I think I have got the computer perfectly set up.
Fantastic.
I like all the levels.
Yay.
It sounds good. Yeah. I like when we play clips. I'm really happy.
Yay.
So it's... It's very nice, and people have commented they enjoy the way it sounds. It sounds better, so I am happy.
That's awesome.
I'm very happy.
Yay!
There could have been many problems.
Oh yeah.
That could have occurred, yeah. But they did not.
That's true.
So, the meetup is coming.
It is. It's 6 months away.
Yes.
But, I mean, it's coming up.
So I will, this will kind of segue into another subject, but
okay.
At some point we do need to set up some place where people can discuss maybe arrangements of hotel rooms, splitting them, something like that.
Sure, sure.
So this is what I'm going to say. I do things that need to be done sometimes. And I'm not the best at it. I am not a WordPress guru. I do enough to get by. And sometimes it's not even getting by. It's okay, but it's not
it's
perfect.
It's not ideal.
So I am asking for some help. I would like to find a WordPress guru that would not mind coming in to help with some tweaking and different things of the website,
mm-hmm.
using the newest version of WordPress.
Okay.
And we don't have a lot of money, and we don't have that much money at all. But we can promote you. We can, if you do have maybe a business that's suited with our audience, we can promote that. And but I'm open for discussion. Is I wish I had more time to really learn the craft, but with the show and everything else that's going on, I just don't.
Right.
So anyhow. Okay. So that's what I'm asking. And hopefully bartering is alive and well, and we can trade maybe a graphic or mentioning or something like that to promote what you do for help for us.
Yes, so that'd be fantastic.
Anyhow, that's what I wanted to discuss. So it is coming. Folks are asking questions about where are we going to meet and that kind of a thing. Now, here is what I am hearing, that there is going to be some construction going on.
Okay.
I am leery of mentioning places because some people say, well, you said. So
correct.
There are going to be some construction going on. I want to make sure that when we pick a spot to meet that there's not construction going on. So
yes, that is true.
Please bear with us. We are going to be putting all the parts together.
Right. We'll have a loose agenda.
Right.
And we'll have that probably closer to the time.
Yes.
I would say like within a couple weeks at most of, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because things can change pretty quickly. And like you said, they may be doing construction in one area. And right now we pick a place that they're not. And 3 months from now, they could be doing 6 month construction job, you know, so let's just play it by ear and get a little closer to the date, and then we can say, okay, here's where you need to meet at this time.
It is happening.
Absolutely.
At Disneyland.
Yes.
So just, it is happening. But I don't want to go so far and start to name we're going to be here. And I mean, for sure, we're going to be riding rides in Fantasyland, and we're going to have free time, and we're going to have meals, and we're going to be getting together and recording a round table and that kind of a thing. So there are definitely certain things.
Right.
There are some surprises that I'm looking into now. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing I want you to understand, is that you never really know what could happen. And it's not a bad thing. It's definitely going to be a good thing. But there's a lot of really cool things that are in the mix. So just be aware. And it's going to be a lot of fun. Really a lot of fun. We're looking forward to it. I know that a lot of folks are. So we're happy to be a part. And it was really nice because even some of the folks that we're talking to, they're saying, well, I'd like to go. And I say, well, you can go. It's not a problem at all. So it's really, this whole journey has been really exciting. And it never, when I think I've been shocked the most or surprised, that's a better word, surprised, it just keeps getting better. And there's more surprises around the corner for me. And so that's kind of, we want to pass that along to you. So
yes, that is true.
All right. I don't think there's anything else. We're just excited about Sunday's episode. And
yes, totally excited about it. So, it's going to be really amazing.
Sunday's going to be a great day. Love once or Sunday.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
All right. Now I think we're going to jump into voicemails. We have a number of them. And I don't think there's anything. I always think I'm going to forget something that we need to either bring up or discuss.
I can't think of anything, but if we do, we'll just add it later, right?
Yep.
Okay, cool.
Okay. So let's jump into some awesome voicemails, and they are great.
Sounds like a plan. Here is
the first one.
Hey, guys. The show is not even half over yet, and it's already awesome, but I was just watching with the closed captioning on, and then the beginning of the scene where Ruby gives Henry a hot chocolate with cinnamon on it, you hear in the background, and it says it in the Kellogg's captions, "Order's up and ready, Manny." It just made me think, hey, maybe that was a shout-out to one of their more popular fans out there that writes into our show all the time, Manny. So thought I'd throw that out there because I know I'd forget in an hour or two when I called. So, bye.
Thanks, Dave. That is really cool.
I didn't hear the... Did we miss the beginning of his voicemail?
No, this was another one that he called in.
Okay, because he didn't say who he was. Usually he says, hey, this is Dave from Michigan, and I didn't hear that, so maybe I missed it.
No, I think he just began.
Okay, gotcha.
Because he figured we knew who he was.
We do. And we do. It just kind of threw me for a little bit, that's all.
I don't want to go off on a huge tangent, but it is very interesting to watch the closed captioning mm-hmm. of a show.
Oh, yeah.
There are certain things that you may miss.
Now, I did hear that, but I thought the name was Manny, but then I didn't know for sure that it mm-hmm. was that.
Yes.
And I thought maybe I just heard things, so I thought that was really funny. Yeah, orders up, Manny. I did hear that.
So, Manny Man, they're giving you a shout out, Manny. That's really cool.
That's awesome.
Hey, I love his Twitter name, Manuel.
I know, I love it too. That's what. And seriously, you have to say it like that,
right?
You can't just say it, you know, regular.
We would not be who we are without Manny.
I know.
And I remember the day that we bumped into him.
Yep.
Was the day of the Hollywood Reporter story, and he was just. Thanks, Manny, for being who you are, dude. So, all right, here is the next voicemail.
Cool.
Hey, Jeff and Colleen, this is Dave from Michigan. All right, show just ended, and oh my God, that was awesome. It really is a lot like Lost in this effect that, you see an episode and you think, that was so epic. And then the next episode you watch, you can't believe that it was better than the last one you just watched. So cool. I love this episode. I love the little lines here and there. Snow White and Seven Dwarfs can do. That was cool. I don't have a whole lot to really spout on about theories, except for one thing, because it's right, the last 10 minutes of the show, so it's stuck in my mind. While when Emma went to talk to Mr. Gold for help, he was looking at the genie lamp that Sydney came from. And it makes me wonder if this is foreshadowing that Sydney is actually going to help in taking down Regina. It was just a thought, because, with these guys, nothing is just a prop. So I'm going to watch it again with my friend again, like I do every weekend. We will probably pick apart about 12 more things for theories now that I'm not watching it as a fanboy, as I'm watching it as a theory guy. But love this episode. I'm so jealous that you guys got to see it 6 hours before I did. But whatever. All right, have a good one. Talk to you guys later.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you, Dave. That is funny. Yes, I totally agree with him. You watch him and like, oh, that was my favorite. Oh, wait, no. Oh, my gosh, I can't believe this one got better. I can't believe this one got better. And I did. I just absolutely love this episode. And Skin Deep is still my favorite. But, I mean, I really, really liked Red Handed. And I thought, oh, how can it get any better? And then this one was just off the hook great. So mm-hmm. so many great things. I agree with him about the lamp. That was definitely Sydney's lamp as far as I can remember. And I agree as well that I don't think there's any coincidences. I'm pretty sure there's a significant reason why he was looking at that. Now, the theory that maybe he's going to end up helping. Will he end up helping willingly? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or is it that he'll be forced into helping take her down? Because he's in love with her. He's totally head over heels in love with her. So right. I kind of wonder. But it would be interesting to see that happen. And who knows? He could find a reason to turn on her. Like he fake told, Emma that he had. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that.
Yes. And don't let me forget, Malini sent in a voicemail through the email.
Okay.
And so sometimes I get caught up in Google Voice.
Yes.
And I forget.
So maybe you should go grab that one now.
I do not want to forget.
Do you know what I'm saying? Yes. Maybe since you're talking about it, that's a great idea.
All right.
That's what I think anyway.
The silence.
I know. Isn't that super fun?
And the typing. All right.
Did you find it yet?
Yes.
Okay. Great. Let's hear it.
All right. It's downloading. Are you on the edge of your seats, people?
I think they might be.
This is... It's going to be great.
Spectacular.
It is. It's going a lot faster than it used to go.
That's hey, true. Jeff. Hey, Colleen. It's Malini from Texas. I just wanted to send a voicemail because I haven't sent anything in a long time, either a voicemail or an email, and I missed sharing my thoughts with you guys. So I decided to send a voicemail. I don't have really solid theories. I just have a few points that I wanted to share. The first one was about Pinocchio. Earlier in the season, I think when August first came into town, that was probably episode, I think, 9, the Hansel and Gretel episode, Through North, I think is what it's called. I originally thought, and we saw Emma's record, like the newspaper articles of a kid finding him at the side of the road. I originally thought that August was Pinocchio. He was able to escape through the wardrobe, and he was the little boy who found Emma on the side of the road. That was my theory, and I think I sent you an email about that. But watching the episodes now, I'm kind of thinking that maybe he's not. And I feel like it's more or less coming into me saying that Pinocchio was too young when the curse happened. And if he did indeed escape through the wardrobe, I feel like he was too young to know exactly what to do or to remember anything. And maybe, you know, maybe he wouldn't have known what to do when he escaped. So that theory for me is still up in the air. Like, that's what I'm thinking right now. And I still don't know who the stranger is, but I think the producers have hinted, especially I think in Pelifest, when they said that they would reveal who he was before the season is over. So, I mean, that's my theory. He's definitely not Pinocchio for me, and I'm just going to wait until the end of the season to find out, you know, who the stranger is. Another thing I wanted to talk about was some little things I noticed in the episode. The first one was the intervention, or I think dwarf-vention, as I want to call it. It was just really funny to me that Jiminy Cricket was the one who facilitated the intervention. And when I watched the Snow White movie, and I've been loving watching these Disney movies recently. I've watched Snow White, and this whole past weekend, I watched Snow White, Cinderella, Sleeping Beauty, Beauty and the Beast, and Pinocchio, all in this whole weekend, last weekend. So I've been really Disney obsessed this past couple of weeks. So I was watching Snow White, and I saw the scene where Dopey, the dwarves were outside waiting to go into their home, and they thought the light was on. Both Doc and Happy were saying, "Jiminy Crickets, oh, Jiminy Crickets." And it was just funny to me that it was Jiminy Cricket who was the facilitator of the intervention, which is just a small tidbit, nothing really to it. I just thought it was funny. Another thing was the pickaxe of Stealthy. And I think that the axe that Snow White had when she left, when she was about to kill the queen, that probably could have been Stealthy's. Maybe, you know, they lost their number 8. Maybe she joined them and she's now their number 8 and she had his axe. Maybe that was what it was. I don't know for sure, but that's what I'm thinking. Another thing was, I mean, like I said, I love Disney and I love fairy tales. So when this show happened, I really was very excited to have those two things together. And when they had the episode What Happened to Frederick and the Shepherd, and they were talking about Lake Knossos and about Midas, you know, I'm an English teacher. So for me, I love to read. I love Greek mythology. And that was just awesome to see that diversity and that kind of like a different spin on just fairy tales, and Disney adding other things like Greek mythology was awesome to me. And I was really happy to see that. And then in this episode, Heart of Darkness, when they added a quote from Shakespeare, words, words, words from Hamlet, I was like, oh my God, this is awesome. Because I love Shakespeare too, you know. I love reading Shakespeare plays and I love teaching it. I teach Shakespeare plays in school right now. So that's kind of where the love I have for Shakespeare is coming. And so when they used those words and then they used the quote, I was like, oh yes, this show is getting better by the minute. So I'm really excited to see what else, what other literary effects, what other literary genres are they going to add into the show as the season progresses, and maybe hopefully crossing my fingers for season 2. The last thing I wanted to share was I read an interview with Jennifer Goodwin, maybe November of last year, October or November of last year. I was trying to find the link. I wanted to email it to you guys, but I can't find it right now. I'm still looking for it. When I find it, I will definitely email it. It was talking about, I think, for Stable Boy, about how the anger that the Queen has for Snow. I was reading that interview, and she said that when she found out what Snow White did to the Queen, she was so mad at Snow White that she threw her script to the wall. And she said that, and I quote, these were her exact words, "Snow White is a wretched little girl with a wretched past." And that statement really intrigued me because, you know, the Snow that we know is far from wretched. I mean, even the bandit Snow and the thief Snow is far from wretched. I mean, even the girl who drank the potion, she was rude and violent and inconsiderate, but she was far from wretched, even with that potion. So for me, I'm kind of intrigued by what kind of wretchedness lives within Snow. You know, I'm intrigued to see that character play out. So, yeah, I guess that's it. Just wanted to share those few things with you. I just wanted to say thank you for an amazing podcast. I know I keep saying this, and I can never say this enough. You guys are amazing. You guys rock. You guys are awesome. I just am so happy to be part of this family that, you know, that are full of many amazing friends that I've met on Twitter, people that I've gotten to know better because of Twitter and because of the show and because of the podcast. So thank you for that. Thank you for everything. Thank you for making me think, because I like that. I like to think all the time, and the podcast makes me think every single day. So that's it. Thank you, and keep up the good work. I will keep listening. Bye.
Thanks, Malini.
Thanks, Malini. That was awesome. She had a few theories in there.
Yes.
Okay, so let's see. Pinocchio. I know I'm getting a lot of people who don't agree with me. They think that there's no way he's Pinocchio. And maybe they're right. Maybe I'm totally wrong. I'm still holding on to my theory that he is, in fact, Pinocchio. There's too many things that just cement it for me. Now, she has a good point that he would have been really young. Would he have known what to do? It's a tough call. And what I've discovered, what I think, you know, the only way I could justify this by saying, you know, to support my theory is that, yeah, you know, these fairy tale characters, these little kids frequently were far more advanced and far more mature than most kids are at the same age. So that's the only thing I can say to justify why he would still potentially be Pinocchio. Like I said, I could be totally wrong. Right now I still hold on to that theory. That's still my favorite theory. So that was that. What was the next thing that she talked about?
Jiminy Crickets,
yes.
I think.
Yes, yeah. I didn't even think about that. I totally didn't even remember that they'd mentioned, you know, his name in the movie.
If I remember correctly, that was one of those kind of on the line kind of expressory words, you know, that aren't bad, but it kind of sounds bad, but it's not bad. So they let that through. And I do remember listening to the commentary on the Pinocchio movie, and they said, yeah, we did say Jiminy Crickets in Snow White.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it was kind of interesting that we named the cricket Jiminy Cricket. So,
right.
Yeah. And the dwarf revention, that was so funny. So
it
funny.
It was very classic. It was, there were so many parts of that were so funny. I mean, you are allergic to everything. That was classic.
The writers and the producers, I think, really do a great job of using contemporary themes and parts to the script.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not cheesy.
Right.
And it's not over the top as far as doing an upgraded Shakespeare that just doesn't work.
Well, so, you got to remember that most of these fairy tales were written in Old English or
right.
old languages, or I shouldn't say languages, but do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
In the Shakespearean type thing, and not specifically Shakespeare. Do you know what I'm saying?
But it works. What they're doing has a perfect balance of concepts and words that work within that framework. Right. And I think they're doing a great job.
They're doing a fantastic job. They're not pulling out the old language. They're not eliminating it completely. They're interspersing it just enough to where you go, yeah, that's not something most people would say right now. I mean, they know what the word is, but they wouldn't actually use that. They'd use something different. So it is very funny. It's, you know, like for one of the examples is a word. Or may I have a word with you?
Right.
Most people don't say, may I have a word with you? It's, hey, can I talk to you for a minute?
Yes.
So it's just keeping that very, what's the word I want to think of? Proper.
Okay.
Proper, older English.
All right. I think Snow the Eighth is the most incredible theory I've ever heard. That's great.
Yeah, because at this point in time, we know it's Stealthy's gone. So,
right.
Interesting. Snow the Eighth. Well, it is Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, so that would make eight people.
But it's, I think it's also the brother and the sisterhood now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's this.
Yeah, they've adopted her as their sister. It's awesome.
Yes. And I forget a lot of times all the different types of careers and points of view the listeners have.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I was telling Melini, I said, you need to enjoy your spring breaks. I said, one day you won't have them. And she said, Jeff, I'm a teacher. I get them every year. This is the greatest job ever. You know, I love to teach, but you know, I love the spring breaks and the breaks here and there as well. And I said, I totally forgot. And It is interesting. The great listeners and we talk to on Twitter and also in the emails, but I don't know what everybody does. I don't know what their jobs are, and I'm not trying to look in everybody's life, but it's just part of the fun of what we do is just not just the personalities, but the points of view that are coming into this show and the listeners and everything.
Well, life experience.
It's just really, it's really neat. I mean, just to watch folks interact on Twitter,
mm-hmm.
and you've mentioned it many times before, and it's still true, is some people would have never talked.
Mm-mm.
Probably would
never bumped into each other.
Right. And this is a great opportunity to do that, and as well as the meetup and situations like that. So it is really neat that not only is Melini is a teacher,
mm-hmm.
but she's an English teacher.
Yep.
And she loves fairy tales and she loves Shakespeare. So it's really nice to have. And I remember one of the listeners emailed in and said she loves to research fairy tales. And so it's just neat how everyone kind of comes together and they bring their life experience and their points of view. And it's great. Right. So, we're going to go on to our next
voicemail.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And thank you, Melini. This would not be as fun without you. So, we thank you for all that you do.
That is true.
And here is our next voicemail.
Hey, it's Tyler from Seattle calling with some initial thoughts and can't wait for next week now. Yeah, that episode was amazing, and I think Emma might be starting to turn around in her view, but now I have to wonder if Henry's going to ask August W. Booth, or possibly a wooden boy, just how he knows that the book actually happened, why he believes him, things like that. I'm surprised that hasn't come up yet. But I can't wait for next week now because they shouldn't have said who was going to be in it, because then I went to IMDb and looked for who's going to play who. And I can't wait to see the Caterpillar. And I really can't wait to see the Knave of Hearts, because the actor who's playing that character used to be a regular on Stargate Atlantis as the lovable Scottish Doctor. And I can't wait to see him back in TV again. Hopefully we'll get to see him as a regular or recurring character, kind of like Belle is. But yeah, tonight's episode was amazing, and after I watch it another two or three times. I'll probably have more thoughts on it, but it was absolutely amazing. And I can't believe that Russell has now bottled true love. I was wondering why he wanted their hair, but now we know. So, yeah. But, yeah, I can't wait till Hat Trick now, not because of the Mad Hatter, but because of the other two characters. So, yeah, I'll be anxiously waiting to hear the first thoughts and watch this episode again when it downloads at midnight. Okay, bye.
Thanks.
Thanks, Tyler.
Thanks, Tyler. You win the award for most excited on a voicemail.
Yes. For a minute there, I thought he'd hurt himself.
No.
Like he'd squealed in pain, but he was very excited.
I think Tyler's doing just fine.
He is doing
fine. I think he's doing fine.
It startled me for a second there, but anyway. No, that's cute. It was very funny. I didn't watch the Stargate series, so I don't know, but... just the previews and stuff. Well,
your main man was on there.
I know that, but I didn't know that before.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Anyway.
All right.
But I am excited also for this episode because I think it's going to be trippy to see what exactly they're going to do with this. Because if it's a Mad Hatter and he's really mad... He's not even going to pretend that he doesn't know who he is. Do you know what I'm saying? He'll be just mad enough that he'll...
Now,
and they'll think he's just crazy. They won't realize he's the Mad Hatter.
We have talked about the different reasons that people love the show.
Mm-hmm.
And what I love is we know our friend Ken from Steveston. Yes. Hi, Ken.
Hey, Ken.
Such a cool guy. Mm-hmm. I really, really, really like Ken. And what I really love is when you bring up a Mad Hatter in Storybrooke, I know exactly where the hat store is. I know what it's next to. And that's really neat that we have this information. So once certain things kind of get set up, like I know where the pet store, the animal clinic is. I know where the rabbit hole is.
Yes.
And it's really neat that we have this information already, and we can look on Google View and Google Earth and all that and look at the it's really cool.
Yes.
And that's what it's just really it's really cool. So but yeah, Alice in Wonderland. And I
love that book.
And
I'm talking about the original book, Lewis Carroll.
Yeah.
And I really love the Disney movie because I think it's adorable. It's very funny and crazy. But I really love the original book. I've read the book, Lewis Carroll's book, at least half a dozen times.
I'm not gonna spoil anything, but what I love is the set design. It's very 60s hip cool. Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So that's a neat kind of an edge.
And they pulled a great song.
Right.
To, you know.
Yeah.
Not going to go there. But anyway.
So let's play the next voicemail before
okay,
I get myself in trouble.
Let's do that.
Hey, it's Tyler again. And I was just wondering what your thoughts are on the fact that I, at least, have yet to see an official announcement of the season 2 of the show. And it's kind of odd because I've been looking around online and seeing that, you know, this is like the number one new show of the season and it's, you know, pulling in all these numbers. So I'm surprised ABC hasn't made an official announcement. And I'm just hoping that they do. A lot of people are thinking, well, it's just a formality, but I'm really shocked that we haven't heard anything about a season 2 getting picked up yet. So I was wondering what your thoughts are on that or if you have any... other wisdom you can shed on that from going to Paley Fest and to WonderCon. Unfortunately, no one from Once Upon a Time will be at Emerald City Comic Con when I go to that in, it's the 30th through the 1st, if that helps you guys. So, but yeah, unfortunately, no one from Once Upon a Time will be there, but one of my favorite actors from Star Trek will be there, so I'll be still giddy as a schoolboy while I'm there. So, just thought I would ask you your opinion on that, and I can't wait for the 25th. Can next Sunday be here tomorrow, please? Okay, bye.
All right, Tyler. Thanks, Tyler.
Yeah. Okay. So here's the thing. And I know a lot of people are getting really frustrated. And I've also heard that, you know, people are like, wait, Grimm got picked up. Why isn't Once Upon a Time? Here's my thing. Grimm is on NBC.
Right.
Once Upon a Time is on ABC. No, no, no. But what I'm saying is you can't compare the two.
I understand that. But when you're excited and you want to know.
I totally get that. I totally get that.
NBC, ABC goes out the window and it's right. like.
But I want to remind everybody.
A competing show but it's was not announced.
Really. I get that. But again, you got to take that into consideration.
Okay.
They could very well be making us crazy with anticipation.
Right.
Because they want to surprise us.
But see, I just want you to remember that when you're excited and you want to know, that's what happens.
Totally get it.
I want to know too.
I do too.
What I'm thinking, this is, and alluding to what you were just saying, I think they're waiting for a certain time to announce it. Not
exactly.
Not on a Tuesday at 10 a.m. or whatever.
No, it won't
I
be.
I think yeah, it's that they're be... going to announce it on a very important date. What date? I don't know.
I'm willing to bet it'll be the season finale.
Award show or, well, something right around there.
Well, award season's over, sweetie.
Okay. So, but this is what I want to say. Hello, Once Upon a Time cast and crew. We love you here.
We do.
And we send big love out to you. And we want you to know that if you would like to call in and let us know that season 2 is officially on, it's been picked up, we'll be more than happy to pass it along to the fans. So, just
saying.
That is
true. That is true. I know, you know, I don't want to sound like, you know, I don't care because I do. I really do. I hope they do pick it up for a second season. I can't imagine they wouldn't. It's far too popular. It's far too money-making for them. And of all the shows that they, that were freshman shows this year, it's the only one that's still around.
Right.
For ABC. So I'm kind of thinking that should be enough of a clue. But I understand that until you get an actual, you know, definite yes, no question, it's a little frustrating. It's a little worrisome. But I don't think we have a whole lot to worry about. That's just,
well,
being honest.
No one dressed up like Steve Bergeron at the WonderCon. But they dressed up like Granny and Emma and Ruby.
Who's Steve Bergeron?
The guy that hosts America's Funniest Home Videos.
You mean Tom Bergeron?
That guy. They didn't dress up like him or his brother.
Okay.
You know who I thought? Yeah. You know who the name? I thought Steve Buscemi.
Really?
Because I said Steve, didn't I?
You said Steve.
See,
Bergeron.
Steve?
No, see, I thought you were talking about Steve the raccoon from Rob.
Oh, no. No, that's completely different. We're going way off now.
But
I love Rob. That was such a great show.
It's just on hiatus.
It's not a podcastable show.
Oh, it's
but I love that. No. So anyway, if anyone from Rob, especially Hector, if you are listening to the show, please like Once Upon a Time and call in, leave a voicemail for us, because Hector, we really think you're funny, and actually sometimes you're the only reason I watch the show. Because you're so hilarious. Okay, that's it. Ladies and gentlemen, I had not been drinking at all. Just water and orange juice.
Funny water?
No. I'm going to play the next voicemail.
Okay. I think you should.
Hey, Jeff and Colleen. This is Mason. I caught the last night's episode. I know I said that I wasn't going to be able to catch it, but... as I wrote to you guys, the basketball game got canceled due to snow on our side of the mountain. So didn't get through. Anyways, so I have some interesting theories. You pointed out that maybe some of these storylines, or at least you guys alluded to something along those lines, that some of the fairy tales were happening at the same time as another. So like, say that Let's see, for example, say that Red Riding Hood's story was taking place the same time as Peter and the Wolf's story was happening, or after Snow White runs away from the Huntsman, Snow White was, or Dreamy was starting to become grumpy. And I like that theory. I always thought of it as these stories, at least in the reality of Once Upon a Time, these stories were taking place around the same time as another story was taking place. So, as you said, when the Blue Fairy was, even though the Blue Fairy was sort of in charge of the whole fairy realm, you know, she played a big role in Pinocchio's story. And maybe that's why when she told Nova that Nova was going to handle the fairy dust on her own next year was probably because she might have seen that, or she might have already met Jiminy Cricket, at that time that grumpy story was taking place, you know. I like to think that the bow and arrow that Snow White received probably came from Robin Hood. You know, it's just a theory because Robin Hood had, in the Robin Hood legend, Robin had the best bow and arrow that never missed a shot. And so when Rumpel was saying that the arrow will always find its target, it got me thinking, okay, he took this from Robin Hood, or Robin Hood might have exchanged it or something, you know. I was deeply impressed and kind of surprised by the dwarves' intervention, you know.
Okay, so cut him off, but he is called back.
Okay.
That's a great theory about Robin Hood.
Yeah, it is. And is it that he took it from him, or he's going to give it to him, and that's what's going to make Robin Hood Robin Hood? So either one would be spectacular.
If I remember correctly, I did see a bow and arrow as well as a crossbow in Rumpelstiltskin's large estate in that large room.
Are you talking about Rumpelstiltskin, not Mr. Gold, right?
Yes. Rumpelstiltskin.
Huh. Where Belle and... Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, interesting.
I think I did see the bow and arrow, or the bow at least. Probably the arrow as well.
Possibly, yeah.
Because he seems to have these little...
Trinkets?
Well, they're like platforms of something. And so...
Oh, you mean pedestals.
Pedestals, yeah. Yeah.
Display cases?
Yes. Robin Hood, that is...
It's a great theory. That's a good possibility. I like it.
And I did want to say this, is he actually brought up a point that I remember, is the Blue Fairy talking to Nova was almost alluding to that she was leaving.
Right.
It almost seemed like you'd better learn because you're on your own. And
right, did but that I think it mean, was that specific task.
Well, okay.
I mean, don't you think? Because if she was going to be... Had she met Jiminy Cricket at that point in time? We don't know.
Okay.
Oh, no, she had to have, because she turned him into Jiminy Cricket.
Right.
Hello?
Right.
He wouldn't have been at the intervention. So then the question is, okay, so what was she doing after that?
And the other thought is that if the Blue Fairy in Storybrooke is Mother Superior, which is what has been said now...
Yes.
Then... That would mean that the Blue Fairy possibly became the fairy godmother. I just, unless the Blue Fairy had some type of position just on her
own.
Maybe
Charity was the fairy godmother.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
Or maybe she's in charge of all the fairies.
Okay.
Being Mother Superior in charge of the other fairies, you know, in charge of the other nuns, maybe she's the head fairy.
Right.
So who would the head fairy be? Oh, interesting.
That's a good question. Probably Maleficent. And maybe she was kicked out.
Maybe.
Now, here's another point that you brought out, is that when Rumpelstiltskin unrolls these scrolls, they kind of appear and unroll, and it looks to you, and me too, that there's some type of fairy dust or some type of magical dust, mm-hmm. something that kind
it's a puff of poof, it's right. a poof of pink smoke is what I was yes. trying to say. So, yeah.
So, it reminded me, I thought that there was the same situation when Nova made the looking glass appear. Yep. Was that yes. similar type
yes.
of...
Yes, it looked very similar to me.
Yes.
From memory, if memory serves right, yeah.
Okay. Here is the next voicemail.
Hi, Jeff and Colleen. This is Mason again. I guess I didn't pay attention to the timing of the voicemail. As I was saying, I was impressed with the intervention scene of the dwarves and Jiminy Cricket. I guess Jiminy is now integrating himself into other storylines, which was kind of hard to take in. But there was a Disney film called Fun and Fancy 3 where he was brought into at the time of that the film was made. By the way, Fun and Fancy Free has the film Mickey and the Beanstalk and another short film called Bongo. anyways, in that film, Jiminy Cricket comes into our world and he hears a character named Edgar Bergen tell the tale of Mickey and the Beanstalk. And so what I like to think is that he can kind of fit anywhere. Somewhat, you know. Also, Red, using her wool powers, I like to think that sometime after she and Snow escaped, you know, they tried to come up with a plan and Snow helped Red harness the burden of being the wolf. And that by the time James came to her, she realized that James was going to need her help. and so when she became the wolf, you know, James had a feeling that, that there was something a little off about Red, but he didn't want to think about it because he was trying to get to Snow White. Also, I'm not sure if you realize, but when King George's men catch up with James, they, one of them had a savage scar across his face. So I think, I like to think that these were the same guys that were after Red and James earlier. I like to think that maybe they managed to either escape from Red or they managed to subdue her, or something, because we see her in the beginning of the pilot. So my guess is they might have held her captive, and Snow White and the dwarves are going to go break in King George's castle. So anyways, that's my thought, and I hope you guys have a good day. Enjoy the show, and another idea I had was that we could probably do a big overall review.
Uh-oh.
Oh no, he got cut off again. Okay, so let's go back to what we were talking about, Jiminy Cricket. Mm-hmm. So when he hears this, he'll know that Mulaney had heard on the movie Snow White that he was mentioned. So, or at least the phrase was mentioned, mm-hmm. and therefore, yeah. So, but yeah, I agree. Jiminy Cricket was used in a few other things, if I remember correctly, and he's a good little character. He's a good utility character. Let's see. The next thing. Oh, I noticed the scar too. I didn't notice the scar. I just noticed blood. I didn't recognize that it being a scar. It probably was, and I just didn't see that. But I did notice that the one guard had blood streaks on his face. So yeah. It's funny because I kind of vaguely remembered seeing it the first three times I saw this, and then when we just watched it now a fourth time, I'm like, oh, he's got blood on his face. He was one of the guys that was with Red. He ran into Red. And I bet you, I'm pretty sure those are the same guys. In fact, I'm positive he was, because he was the one that you see kind of cowering on his horse as they're riding up, and Red jumps through the air and is the wolf and attacks them. So I'm pretty sure that the rest of them are all the same guys too. I don't know if she killed any of the guys, or if she somehow managed to just kind of like detain them or something.
Yeah.
Because she said, "I'm giving you a head start." So it didn't seem like she was going to kill them. It seemed like she was just trying to delay them, so to speak. So anyway, did I miss anything else? Did you have anything to add, darling?
No.
Okay.
That's pretty good.
Nope. No, I don't.
I did want to add a couple of things. Is Jesse Hutch, who played Peter, is on Twitter.
Oh, okay.
And it's Jesse, J-E-S-S-E underscore Hutch, H-U-T-C-H.
Great.
So he is on
Twitter.
And also the young Pinocchio is also on Twitter as well.
Nice.
And that's Jacob Davies. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. And so the deputies did a wonderful little shout out, a great blog post, and Jacob actually read it and responded. So that was really, really
nice.
Neat. So welcome, Jesse. Welcome, Jacob, to Twitter. And we send big love to you because everybody's important. Even if you're on one episode and you get destroyed by your love, it's okay. Mm-hmm. We still think you're cool, and we will still follow you on Twitter. So,
yes, that is true.
So it's really neat that they're all on Twitter now, and, and it's just really, really neat. So Raphael Sabarge is a busy guy with Mass Effect 3 and all that, and the show, and Twitter as well. So it's really cool. I know we've talked about this before, but I just... This is probably my favorite. Look, I know that many of the dwarves have not had a lot of lines, but when Happy takes the stage, he takes over the stage.
He did.
It was my favorite of all time. There's something.
Go, Michael.
There's something funny about a happy person that just gets so infuriated, becomes not happy.
Yes.
And it was so, so great. I mean, I was chuckling to myself.
Look what you did to Happy.
Yeah. And, you know, his cheeks are puffed out and he's trying not to say anything else. But he was just so, just his lines were so perfect. And I just, the last one, when his voice went up an octave, it was just so funny. Just really.
Sorry, Wookie.
The Wookiee's back.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, Michael Coleman, sir, you are great.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not in a lot of it, and you don't have a lot of lines, but the lines you got, you just kill it, and it's great. So anyway, really, really, really like that. That was just one of my favorite moments. And then she brings him the mug, and he goes, "Well, what's that?" You know, just like anybody else, you know, well, you get hurt.
But that was Grumpy.
What's that?
Well, did he say it or Grumpy? I thought he said it, but anyway.
Yeah, maybe.
I think it was Grumpy that said it.
But anyway, so Michael Coleman, keep up the great work, and we love you whether you're happy or not. It's fine.
Happy or less than happy.
It's all good. So let's see here.
Happy challenge.
Here is the next voicemail.
Okay.
Hello, this is Mason again. last voicemail. So as I was saying, I had an idea. The DVD and Blu-ray is supposed to come out around fall 2012, and in the coupon, it said that the coupon's due between the 28th and the 28th of August and the 16th of November. And so what I like to think is maybe we could probably do like a discussion on what could be on the DVD release and such, the complete season. Right. Have a good day. Bye.
Thanks, Mason.
Thanks.
So, well, we could do kind of a rough ballpark.
Sure.
I guess. For sure, we know, just based on promotional pictures that they release for each episode, and what we've heard from Jane Espenson and others, there have been deleted scenes. Especially in the last number of episodes, there have been some scenes where Jiminy Cricket has been talking to David Nolan, for example, in the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
And those have been cut out. So those will be in there. And I would think that there's probably documentaries about maybe the writing, the creation. There's probably one main documentary about from Lost to Once Upon a Time. What happened? How did it happen?
Yeah.
Along the way.
Yeah.
And probably some tests, some audition tests.
Screen of, tests,
of
maybe.
The
yeah.
actors.
Yeah, maybe.
And discussions about what does it take to be an evil queen? What did you...
Probably behind the scenes. How is it made?
Yes.
You know, showing the green screen.
Especially
stuff.
The green screen. I think that's going to be
I think it's going to be really huge. And the other thing I think that might end up being on there too is, maybe some blooper type things or some, funny moments with the crew, cast and crew.
Yep.
That'd be really cool if they did that.
And then they'll probably have a documentary about the great podcast people that like Once Upon a Time.
I don't think so.
I think so.
Okay.
You just give me a call. I'll meet you anywhere. We could talk.
Sure, we could.
Bring your crew.
That'd be great, honey.
Okay.
Are you ready for the next?
I think
voicemail?
I am.
Okay, let's go with that.
I'm sassy now. How's that?
Yes,
how do you like that?
A little bit sassy.
No leprechaun,
and I'm the one
it's
who's
just
very
me.
And I'm the one who's very mellow tonight.
That's right. That is correct. Ha ha. I'm the man behind the mic.
Could you please play the voicemail there, Sweet Pea?
I think I can. Here's the next voicemail.
Thank you.
Hi, Jeff and Colleen. This is Lisa from Salt Lake City. I wanted to first say thank you so much for the great podcast and the great community that you have created. I appreciate all of your time and energy and efforts into what is really a podcast I look forward to. And I miss you guys when I'm all caught up in my podcast and I don't have any to listen to until the new one. So I just wanted to say that these last two episodes of Once Upon a Time have been amazing. And I think they're actually my favorite of the season so far. And maybe until Sunday, I guess, because that seems to be the way it works sometimes. One thing I'm glad about in this past episode is that we're finally getting a small win for the good side. I'm not expecting someone to remember something big and really have a large shift in the show necessarily, because you need a show, you need to kind of prolong the action. But I'm glad that, we learn more about, the mysterious stranger and Henry's book, and Emma now knows about Regina's keys. So we're learning a few things that help Emma, and so I feel good that she's gotten a little bit of a win, although Mary Margaret having to work with Mr. Gold seems a little sketchy, but we'll see how that goes. And I loved all the scenes in Fairy Tale Land on Sunday night. They were really great and really added to the story. And the only other thing I wanted to say also, Colleen, is thank you for starting to knit. I'm not a knitter, but I'm a crocheter, and all the talk about knitting and new projects and learning has really inspired me to start some crochet projects again. So thank you so much. I look forward to the next podcast. Bye.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Lisa.
So thanks to you, Saweetie.
Wow. I'm really not knitting as much as I would like to. I've just been a little busy. But I just did a couple more inches, and that's, it's a big long blanket, anyway. I'm glad she's getting back into that. I've had a few people say that, I've been listening and I'm hearing everybody talk about knitting on the show and on the, Twitter and stuff. And so I'm really, I'm pulling out my quilting or my crocheting or, some other craftiness. We've talked about this before. We've got some very, very talented people that listen to our show. And so that's awesome. So I'm glad I'm able to inspire somebody on something, being creative.
We really have a great, great community of just varied people with all kinds of different interests. But, we all kind of surround around a really great show. So
That is true.
It's
that is very true.
It's really neat.
Yep.
Here is the next voicemail.
Hi, this is Marie from Whiteville, Tennessee. I'm Brenda's daughter. There are a few things I wanted to bring up from the last episode. Well, the stranger tells Henry he believes the stories in the book are real, and he's there to help Emma believe. He also says that some people like you and I can go on faith, and other people like Emma need proof. And he tells Henry to look in the book, where Henry finds out that Regina has master keys. Then he uses those to show Emma how Regina got into their apartment. Because of that, Emma starts to believe that Regina framed Mary Margaret. The key that Henry uses is also different from the other keys because it has an apple on it instead of a skull, which reminds me of the original story of Snow White. Emma goes to Mr. Doe for help. She says that she knows Regina set up Mary Margaret, but she doesn't have any proof that's court-worthy. Mr. Gold says, now look who suddenly became a woman of faith. So I wanted to say, see what you guys think about that. Mm-hmm. Goodbye.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Marie. And that's a great, she's got great points in there.
Yep.
Followed it very thoroughly. Mm-hmm. And yes, I totally agree with all of it because, yeah, a lot of this is now talking about faith versus, you know, proof. It's kind of, it harkens back to the Lost.
Yes.
TV show where we talk
man of faith, man of science,
right? Yeah. Exactly. And I think that's pretty regular in everyday life. You know, some people are just, they believe very easily and other people, they need proof. So, no, I think it was great. She had some great points in there. Very nicely done.
Yes. I did love that the discussion between August and Henry.
Mm-hmm.
I think that really encapsulates a lot of us, is because when we grow up, we find ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes mm-hmm. we find ourselves early. Sometimes we find ourselves late. When we find ourselves, we feel that we're different the way we are.
Mm-hmm.
And when we meet someone that is similar, it's that kind of kismet. You know, mm-hmm. you say, you're like me. You either believe, you have faith in something.
Right.
And it really validates something deep. I mean, if you really watch that scene and watch Henry,
mm-hmm.
Henry, in a way, is kind of, he's asleep almost, or he...
He's not aware.
We'll mention something about Emma in just a second, but there's something about this town that lulls you into this everyday drudgery,
mm-hmm.
going through the motions. But when August said, I believe your book is true, Henry just wakes up and yep. he says, you do? You really do? And yeah.
You think my book is real.
Right.
And he said,
right.
as real as I am.
Right. And I think that's a core issue as far as waking up. And we talked about this many, many podcasts ago. But Emma and Mary Margaret, it was very similar because I think the town kind of drags you down. I don't want to go off on this huge tangent, but it's like everyday life. You can let it get to you or you can rise above.
Right.
And it's hard mm-hmm. sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And Emma has been kind of spinning around in this town and Regina and all this stuff in Sydney and all these problems. But she looked to Mary Margaret and said, I need you to believe in me.
Trust me.
Yeah.
Trust. It wasn't even belief. It was trust. It was very specific.
But she wanted validation that somebody really trusted and or believed that she could do it. And that's what she needed. And then she became the hero again. Because we've kind of talked about it. I mean, this is the woman that was lowered down in a
mine shaft.
Mm-hmm. Grabbed two people and mm-hmm. got them out.
Yep.
Hero.
Yep.
She won an election.
Yep.
Hero. And now she's mired in this whole thing. And now she realizes that she's going to have to do a deal or some type of arrangement with Mr. Gold to make things right.
Right.
So, but it was very interesting. I saw a lot of similarities between August and Henry and Emma and Mary Margaret. That whole, waking them up out of a sleep.
Yes.
And getting them back on track. And that was really, really neat.
Snow White.
No. No.
Yeah, well, Snow White too.
Okay, all right. Yeah.
Think about it.
Yeah, that's true.
He woke her out of the...
Right.
Prince James woke her out of her crazy sleep. Or crazy, hazy, mean girl phase.
And you know me. I'm a softy. And I love that scene when she walked in and said she was sorry. And they knew.
It tears me up every time I see it.
Yeah.
And I've seen it 4 times now.
So, you know,
go ahead.
I want to say this, and we mentioned it before, is what I love about this show is it's never, they lead you in slowly. They've been introducing Team 7 here and there, and we've learned more and more. And the end of the last episode, it's like, okay, now the adventures begin.
It's like unwrapping a Christmas present.
Yeah, slowly.
Very, very right. slowly. You see little bits and pieces as you start opening and peeling back some of the layers. But
I, for one, am ready.
I don't want it to rip fast, though.
No. But I'm ready. Let's go.
Okay.
We, especially this podcast, I'm not saying we're the only fans that have felt this way. We've been looking forward to this. You know, Team 7 on 10, let's do it. You know, so it's going to be a good, fun time.
Yes, it is.
So
I would agree. The other thing I did want to point out that Marie brought up in her voicemail real quick is the key.
Yes.
Because that was a concern. I kept saying it's not a skull head key.
That's
it's a
true.
Different key.
I stand corrected.
And I said, no, maybe I'm mistaken, but the fact that she confirmed that it was an apple, that's awesome. Because I knew it was something different. It kind of looked bird-like to me at first, but then I saw it really quickly in a flash, and it was up on the screen, and there was like 8,000 other people in the room. So I recognized it was definitely not normal, which is interesting to me because the apple key is the one that opened Snow White's house. So do the other keys open other houses, and if so, well, then what exactly is the key head look like for, let's say, Archie Hopper?
Right, true.
You know,
well, there's
is it a star?
There's a great blog post that the deputies put up that actually poses that question.
That's fantastic. So anyway, I like that. I thought that was really cool.
So everybody drop by the blog.
Yeah, go check it out.
Alrighty, here is the last voicemail.
Okay.
Here we go.
Hey, Jeff and Colleen, it's Dave from Michigan. I just did my weekly rewatch, and I really didn't find a whole lot more to pick up on. That could be because I'm dog tired, but there was one thing I did want to call you guys about. I had heard it mentioned vaguely on one of the other podcasts, but I absolutely loved the idea. And so I wanted to share with you and put my 2 cents added onto it. The storyline that featured August in this episode was about him wanting to get Emma to believe. That's a trademark that was known of Peter Pan, was to get people to get Wendy to believe. And so the thought is that maybe August is Peter Pan. Now, here is where I put in my 2 cents, and I think makes this theory even more viable. That's the reason that he was outside of the town. His punishment was that he didn't get to stay as a young boy. He was forced to grow up. But in order for that to happen, he had to be outside of Storybrooke and therefore outside of the curse. So even though he knows it to be true, the only way to break the curse is to get Emma to believe. So in that regard, he is Peter Pan. He knows what's going on, but because he was forced to grow up, he's learned how to do it. He's learned the way that he has to do it in order for himself to be successful. And I just really like that theory, and I wanted to see what your guys' thoughts were on it, if you liked it or not. But, all right. That's it. Have a good one.
Thanks, Dave.
Okay. It's a very pliable, plausible theory.
Yep.
But I'm going to burst the bubble.
Nicely.
very nicely, but I'm going to burst the bubble because there's no getting around it.
Right.
At WonderCon, Eddie and Adam very clearly said that they do not have licensing to use Peter Pan. So he is definitely no way on God's green earth unless they big fat lied to us at WonderCon. He can't possibly be Peter Pan. But I like the theory.
I do as well. And
but according to them, they can't use Peter Pan stuff.
The theory does hold water. And as you were talking about, I was going, okay.
Like I said, totally plausible, but totally
from the beginning, valid. From the beginning, whenever I brought it up on Twitter, people always brought up, you know, the licensing for it. Disney doesn't have it anymore.
Right.
That kind of a thing. Right. So it would be a tough, it would be a tough one. So.
Yeah. That is the only reason why I can say with certainty that unless they are absolutely lying to everyone, and I don't think they're lying this big.
Right.
He's not Peter Pan.
So, but we love the theory.
But it was a good theory. Excellent. And believe me, yeah. Now, he said
there's courts involved.
That wasn't his theory, but he liked it. So, but at any rate, like I said, I, you know, like the theory, but unfortunately, I got to burst the bubble because that's what we're being told by a lot of people.
Hi there. This is Wayne Henderson, the voice of the Once Upon a Time fan podcast. Check out my voice acting services at mediavoiceovers.com. Thanks for listening, and now back to the show.
So, that's it. We have no more voicemails, but the ones we had were fantastic.
They were.
I want to thank everyone for taking the time to call in. We really appreciate it. And we want to send big love out to everybody who's tuning in, sticking with the show, rating and reviewing the show, emailing in. We really appreciate it. And the best is yet to come. If I really told you the plans I have and the things I've been discussing and the things I've been kind of putting together, it would blow your minds. But you will know soon enough.
Yep.
So this is going to be an incredible ride. So
it will be.
Anyhow, thanks so much for tuning in, listening, downloading, spreading the word, telling your friends. Retweeting on Twitter. I thank you so much, my retweeter group. Thank you, thank you, thank you, because you don't know how much that helps what we do here. So anyway, we're gonna get some sleep. You guys take care, and we will be talking to you in a few days.
We will indeed.
Okay. And the live show's coming up Saturday night.
Yes.
So
don't forget.
Don't forget, and we will talk to you then.
Okay.
See ya.